We will remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. Our reading will be found in the book of Proverbs with a single verse in chapter 14, verse 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is important to our lives. And we know, Lord, that without your Spirit, we cannot even begin to understand those things that you would teach us. So we pray he be with us richly this morning as we consider some simple principles for our lives in this season of ordinary time. And we thank you now for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I guess as you can suspect from my text that the sermon today will focus on a single verse. Now, there's several reasons why I chose to do this. I wanted to follow up a bit on the concept of doing ordinary things during ordinary times, which I preached on about a month ago. Anybody remember what Sunday we're in ordinary time without flipping back in the order of worship? I'll ask that again next time I preach, so be careful. This is week number 7. Now, this verse is also one of my favorite verses. And it has been for many, many years because I have, for as long as I can remember, had a regular habit of preaching or reading in my morning devotions through the book of Proverbs. We do it in our suggested readings on the calendar. There's other reading methods that always include Proverbs. One has you reading Proverbs and Acts every month, and people go, why do I have to read them so often? And his answer was, well, then you don't know what those books are all about. So they are important, and we need to be focused on them. And I hope, as we do this, that we will get to learn a bit this morning about what it means to meditate on the Word of God. I think that's something we often say, oh yeah, I do that, but do we ever step back and consider exactly what does that mean when somebody says you should meditate on this portion of the Scriptures? Now, before we can properly meditate on any portion of Scripture, even a single verse, we must first discover and then understand that verse or that passage. Now, discovery of a verse or a passage would require reading the verse or the passage. Now, that seems kind of Bible 101, but if we're not reading our Bibles, then we don't have much to meditate on. So if while reading along in Proverbs, if you were following the readings this month, you come to this verse and you decide, that's an interesting verse. I want to study that verse. Well, we should begin with what is in the text. And I want the children to help us with this because you guys are usually spot on with what is obvious. So my first question is, what is missing in the first part of the verse where we read, where no oxen are, the manger is clean? So what's missing? Where no oxen are. How many oxen are there? Right. So the oxen are missing. Okay? Now, again, that's obvious, but if you want to understand this verse, you have to think about that. Now, what two things do we have in that first portion of the verse? Well, you have a manger, or you can think about a barn more generally, and you have cleanliness. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. So it's very easy to keep the barn clean and orderly if there are no animals to mess it up, right? Once you clean the barn, it's going to stay clean. Bring in an animal and what happens? You have messes. So what do we have in the second half where Solomon tells us that much increase comes by the strength of an ox? What was missing in the first half? What do we see in the second half? An ox. So now we have an ox. And what is the benefit of having that ox? Much increase comes by the strength of that ox. Oxen are very strong, and they can do a lot of work that brings great increase. So after discovering those details, we're ready to actually begin a meditation on the verse. What is Solomon trying to teach us here? Now, first, we remember how the Proverbs often present contrasting thoughts, which is what we certainly see here. In the first part, we have no oxen and a very neat and clean barn, but no increase. In the second half, we have oxen who give us much increase, but they also are going to mess up the barn. Now, notice that the first part does not state openly that there is no increase, but it's certainly implied. No ox, no increase. The same is true when it comes to having a mess in the barn, which is also implied in the second half of the verse. You can't bring the oxen into the picture without the mess that comes with them. So each part of the verse gives us something to think about or to meditate on about the other part. This is the first step in understanding what King Solomon is trying to teach us. There are two implied priorities. The first is a clean manger or barn. The second is to have an increase. And we should note that the solution and the problem with both of them comes with the ox. Without the oxen, it's easy to keep a clean barn, but very hard to go out and do all the work that is needed for the increase. And the increase is kind of important because you nor your family or animals can eat a clean barn. With oxen, we can do a lot more work. We can do the work of the farm and produce lots of increase, and thus we have the increase that we need to feed ourselves and others. So, what is more important? A clean barn or the increase? Now, if the obvious answer seems to be the increase, because we all like to eat, because we don't want to starve, then our meditation should cause us to say, well, why did the king present this bit of wisdom in this way? Why didn't he simply say, if you want to survive on the farm, get some animals to do the work? Wouldn't that be a straightforward bit of wisdom? Why postulate about clean barns if the increase is the most important? Well, anyone who works a farm will tell you that clean barns are pretty important. Perhaps King Solomon is reminding us that both are important and that a wise person gives each of them their proper priority. A farmer who spends all of his time working the animals and neglects the barn will soon find the barn uninhabitable and unsanitary, which in the end can cause him to lose the very animals that are important. On the other hand, it's pretty obvious that if a farmer decides to sell his animals and focus on having the cleanest barn around and the most organized barn in the village, they will soon be begging others for food. In the end, the wise farmer will make sure that he has the needed animals to accomplish the work and that will produce the increase. And he will make an effort to clean and care for the barn where they reside, even though they just keep messing it up again and again. Now, the next step in our study and meditation should be to ask, what is the Lord trying to teach me out of this verse? Which is why I mentioned that it's one of my favorite verses, one that I ponder each time that I work my way through this important book of the Bible. And yes, each time there seems to be more to meditate on and to learn. The first important question to ask is, who is the author speaking to? Well, in this case, King Solomon is giving direct instructions to his son. We learned that back in verse 8 of chapter 1. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So we go, whew. I'm not one of Solomon's children, so I don't have to worry about this verse. But you see, the answer to that question is also found back in chapter 1, where the king began the book by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the book of Proverbs is written for anyone and to anyone who desires to be wise in the biblical sense. And one who ignores this important book is a fool. And the book of Proverbs, as most of you know, has a lot to say about fools. But we're here this morning studying and meditating on a proverb so that we can be wise. So continuing in my meditation, I now know that Proverbs are written for me to be wise. So what am I to learn from our text? Well, again, the first thing that most of us will notice is that we have neither a barn nor any oxen. Does that mean that I should just move on and look for proverbs that directly apply to my life here in Sacramento? No, it does not. Now, if Dad is doing a family devotion for children who have been raised in an urban setting, he might have to first explain how an ox labors and why farms have barns. There could be urban children who've never seen either. Now, some of the kids might point out, well, that since that they've never even seen an ox or a barn, what is there for them to learn from this proverb? Here they and all of us should be reminded about what the Apostle Paul told young Timothy. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't say all scripture except the parts that don't apply to me. It says all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, as we sit here thinking about that messy barn that can be a problem, one of the children might be thinking, oh boy, my room was a real mess this morning. Mom was so upset with me. And some of you dads may be remembering how cluttered your desk is at work. It's probably a good time to just move on and go to another verse, right? But you see, here's where the rubber meets the road for meditating on God's word. We must be open to the Spirit of God bringing such examples from our lives to our minds. So can anyone think of an area of life where work and cleanliness are both seemingly at odds, but both essential? That is certainly what we should meditate on with this verse. That's what we should now be asking ourselves. We should be led to that in our private devotions. When we come upon a verse like this, we can deal with it as a family in our family devotions, or as we're doing this morning, we can do it together through a message from God's word. Now, as I said, one of my favorites, because it is so challenging when you dig deep into what the king is teaching us here. So for this morning, let's try to take just the average household and try to think about where this work and cleanliness might be important. And of course, these same principles of balancing work and cleanliness could be expanded to our vocations, to our work, to industry, and even to government in some later discussions and meditations. So let's start in the garage. What does a clean garage look like? Well, it would be all organized. It would have a place for each tool or object. All the garden tools would be hung up and clean. The washer and dryer are empty and clean, well stocked. There's no grease spots on the floor. And everything would be just right where it should be. The perfect garage, right? But what is the strength of the garage? What is the increase that it's intended to give us? Well, those garden tools cannot stay hung up and clean and not used if we want our yard to look nice, now do they? How long before we run out of clean clothes if mom never uses the washer and dryer so it stays clean? And though it is not as bad as the old days, and I remember those days, a car parked in the garage is still going to leave some stuff on the floor. But how would the family get anywhere if we got rid of the car to keep the garage clean? Oh, and did I forget to mention bicycles, those of you that have children? So here we can see our lessons about both cleanliness and increase being important. We just saw how important the increase or work based on that garage is for the family. But as we saw with the barn, if we just use and use and use those tools and machines with no attention to their organization or their cleanliness, the work that can be done is greatly decreased. How often does a minor repair take about an hour instead of 10 minutes? Because you spent 50 minutes looking for the right tools. I see Chris smiling back there. He knows what I'm saying there. Now, I was able to start making folks feel convicted because I cleaned and organized my shed just recently, which had been a log in my eye for probably the last 6 months. So I can testify firsthand how much more work is able to be done in less time. And at bottom, I was wrong to let it get so cluttered that nothing could be found. And now I would be just as wrong to yell at the next person, and gee, there's only one living in my house, but I wouldn't yell at her. But I wouldn't be right to yell at somebody who used it for a project, and worse yet, if I locked it up so nobody could mess it up again. Now we can see again why this concept of ordinary time is so important in the Christian life. Day by day, I have to stay focused on getting the work done with tools and other things in my shed while never forgetting that I must also keep it clean and organized. Now, we don't want to leave the ladies out, so let's move on to the kitchen. What does the perfect kitchen look like? Well, something right out of Victoria Magazine, of course. Clean, organized, well decorated, fully stocked with nothing out of place, just like that clean barn. But now, let's ask an important question. What increase does that clean kitchen bring with its strength? Well, unless you're one of those rich folks who buy $5,000 square foot homes with massive kitchens and then eat out all the time, you probably need to use the kitchen to feed your family. That is going to mean dirty dishes, dirty pots and pans, dirty floors, and depleted supplies. And since most families need 3 squares a day plus snacks, when does mom have the time or opportunity to make the kitchen perfect again? Children, if mom grew tired of doing that over and over and over again and finally put her foot down and said, no more going into the kitchen or using it, how long would your family survive? So mom has to have the same balance that we learned from our text. Because if she only spent time feeding everyone and paid no attention to cleaning up or putting things back where they belong, to say nothing of buying food to replace what is eaten, the family again would be hungry and probably getting very sick. So with the principles of this proverb in mind, I'm going to make a suggestion for our fathers that perhaps one day this week you sit down with the family at your devotion time and read this verse out of Proverbs and then read through Proverbs chapter 31 with the children and have them have a time for giving mom a big thank you and reminding everything that while she is the boss of the kitchen, there are important tasks for everyone to do. And of course, we could extend the same principle out to the broader house. Again, the perfect house is clean. All the furniture looks like new. The guest towels are hung up in a clean bathroom, and all the floors are spotless. That would be clean. But what is the strength of your home? What increase is needed or should come from your home? Well, it is where you raise your children. Your home is where your husband finds some refuge from a hard day's work. It's where you take a bath after your hard day, where the children can learn and play, and yes, where you must practice the hospitality that we are commanded to practice. And the balance of our text comes into play again. When all of those activities take place, they work against a clean and perfect house. But if the need for a clean and orderly house is overlooked, then chaos ensues. Dad has no refuge. The kids can't find anything. And you, as a mom, would probably not want to get into that bathtub. And no one would come to visit, even if you were not too embarrassed to invite them. You see, the broader project of the home is obviously everyone's responsibility. Because you all live there, and regular family meetings to make sure everyone is doing their part can be pretty important. Now, the children kind of helped us out at first, so I don't want to leave them out when it comes to applications. So we should obviously ask, what does the perfect child's room look like? Be they young or old? Well, of course, it would be clean. The bed would be made. All of your clothes would be hung and folded in their proper place, and not a single toy or book or computer out of place. Every mom's dream, right? Ah, but again, what is the strength of that room? What is the increase that it is supposed to produce? It should be obvious. It's where your children live. So as the proverb implies, where there are no children, the room is perfect. Kids, that's probably not a good idea, is it? The Lord tells us that children are a blessing. So we certainly do not want to get rid of them. And so those bedrooms are where they sleep, where they dress, where they play, where they read, all things that mess up that perfect room. And again, if children do all those good things with no attention paid to the cleaning and organizing part of their rooms, how long before they really don't want to be in that messy room and can't find anything to wear? And parents, there's a subtle lesson here when it comes to those rooms and the other areas that I've mentioned around the home. Kids use and mess up their rooms. They cause messes in the rest of the house, the kitchen and the garage as they get older. But you see, far too often, it is much easier for mom or dad to just quickly make the bed, pick up the toys that were left out, put the tools away, or wash some dishes than it is to take the time to teach and train the children to do those important tasks. And please beware. Because not only are you doing more work than you should be doing in the short term, but you are denying your children the opportunity to learn the lessons of our text for their future obligations. So again, our text was pretty short this morning, but I hope you see now why it is not very simple and why I chose to focus on it this morning. King Solomon reminded us about the importance of doing ordinary things during ordinary time, keeping that balance between a clean barn and oxen to do the work on the farm. And I hope you can see why this proverb has been one of my favorites for many, many years. And I'm sure it will challenge me again when we go through it in January. And I hope it does you as well. And finally, I trust that we all learn just a bit more of what it means to meditate on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the lessons of your word, simple and practical lessons that are sometimes easy to just pass over. And yet upon meditating, we learn so many important things for our lives. May your spirit carry these forward in all the weeks of ordinary time this year as we learn more and more what it means to follow Jesus. We thank you for this in his name, all of God's people said. Please rise now as we sing our hymn of response, How Firm a Foundation.